annual issue, it made history by featuring a same-sex couple on the cover for the first time. Professional soccer star Megan Rapinoe and basketball legend Sue Bird are front and center in one of the 2018 Body Issue's 10 different covers, which all debuted on Monday. In the photo, the couple appear nude, with Rapinoe resting her foot on a soccer ball as Bird spins a basketball on two fingers. Rapinoe, who helped the team win the gold medal in the 2012 Summer Olympics, currently plays for the Seattle Reign FC in the National Women's Soccer League. And Bird, who boasts two WNBA championships, four Olympic gold medals, and two NCAA titles, NCAA titles, plays for the WNBA Seattle Storm.
Okay. WMFO Medford.
You don't care?
No, I don't.
Are you kidding?
Why is it a big deal?
Why is it a big deal? Because it's ESPN. I mean, arguably one of the more sexist ends of entertainment.
Well, not ESPN.
Not anymore.
Not for years.
But nonetheless, okay, let's just say the sports industry in general is not very friendly to the gay agenda.
The professional sports leagues are not very friendly to the gay agenda. I don't know that necessarily extends into sports media.
But, well, okay, so in terms of this is the first time, nonetheless, even if ESPN is amongst one of the more liberal ones, nonetheless, they're laying the groundwork for this becoming a commonplace thing, for this to not be a news story.
It is anymore. A commonplace thing. It should be.
And that's what I'm saying, is it should be, but it hasn't been here yet. That's the whole point, is that there hasn't been a time where they're like, oh my God, badass soccer star, badass basketball star, they're a gay couple, let's have them pose naked on... Do you realize 10 years ago, that never would have happened?
I realize that, but you're talking about a magazine with less than a million circulation.
But it's a matter of setting a certain amount of precedent, a certain amount. Yeah, less than a million, but that doesn't mean that it's... It doesn't mean it's a Chelsea Reporter where homeless people use it to keep themselves warm.
No, it's still stocked in finer doctor's offices around America. But at a certain point,
it takes a spark to start a fire.
But
Derek,
the fire's burning. That's my point. The fire's burning.
The fire's burning in a lot of other areas of society, but not necessarily in terms of, I mean, the first openly gay NFL player came out, what, in the last 2 years?
Yeah, but no, because there's no openly gay players on any teams right now, to the best of my knowledge. So
I thought there was.
No.
Or was it a basketball player? I don't know.
He washed up. I don't care
about sports.
Michael Sam never actually made it into the starting lineup of an NFL team.
Well, again, then even furtherly proving my point that was the first guy who even...
But that wasn't because he was gay. That was because he wasn't a good football player.
No, I'm saying it was the first person who, in any sort of sports scope, in terms of sports reporting, was very open and adamant. Like, I'm saying that there's no precedent. There's no, this is already commonplace here. It's not commonplace in the sports community. And I'm sure, much like most other communities that, when did gay rights start actually becoming real? Like the late 90s, maybe?
Yeah.
But this is not even close to the first professional gay athlete. Nor is it... But it is perhaps the first time that someone's just been like, screw you. Yeah, I'm totally gay. Like
It's a Disney PR move. And
I know, I'm not saying it's not a PR move, but I'm saying that it's a PR move that is for a greater good.
But here's the thing, one stone kind of situation. Here's the thing, and then we got to move on because we got a lot to get through tonight. Here's the thing. The more you call attention to it and the more you try and make it special and the more you try and say, hey, look over here, we have gays on the cover, the more you call out the strangeness of it. You are defeating your own purpose with this. Put the magazine out, and everybody can say, there's a gay couple on the cover.
I disagree. They're not. Okay. Well, the thing is, it's one of 10 covers. I disagree, because it's by having it be one of the 10 covers that they're doing, it is literally making it commonplace.
So they lacked the confidence to have it be all of the covers, is another way of looking at that.
No, every single time they do that, they have 10 different covers. Every single time they've ever done this issue, it's been 10 different covers.
Why not do 10 different covers with 10 different gay athletes or 10 different gay
colors? Because then that would be non-inclusive to heterosexual athletes.
Tokenism.
It's a matter of...
No. Tokenism.
But tokenism is sometimes a necessary evil in order to...
No, tokenism is not good.
I'm not saying that it's good. I'm saying that sometimes it's I called it a necessary evil, not a necessary loveliness.
Stop celebrating tokenism.
Again, not celebrating tokenism, saying that it is sometimes the ends justify the means. The juice is worth the squeeze. By having one of the 10 covers be not a lesbian couple that didn't deserve it, but a lesbian couple who are both extraordinary athletes.
Sure, that's
instead
fine.
Instead of featuring 10 lesbians on every single cover, it's better to just slip it in there so that maybe, God willing, and the creek don't rise, people will stop focusing on that this is a thing. I won't have to tell this story in 5 years saying, oh, a lesbian couple was in the cover of an ESPN magazine. I can just say, these two awesome athletes were featured on the cover of an ESPN magazine.
We wouldn't be talking about this right now if Disney wasn't shining a spotlight on it saying, look, we put gays on the cover. We put gays on the cover. We're so progressive. Look at how awesome we are.
But
just put it out there and shut up.
But again, I'm saying...
Put it out there and shut up.
I'm saying it's a matter of, and this was not, I didn't get this from a source that's owned by Disney. This is a matter of...
Are you sure?
Yes, I am.
Are there
Thank
any
you.
Left?
It was one of the other big six things.
Are there any sources left that
aren't
owned by Disney?
My point is that, yes, it's definitely a publicity stunt. Yes, it is definitely tokenism. Nonetheless, that is the avenue that we have... the opportunity to go down with this issue. That is the avenue that we have the opportunity to go down to slowly introduce it to people so that maybe 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, it'll just be like, yo, look at those two cool athletic chicks instead of, hey, they put a lesbian couple on the cover
we're
of this
now.
Magazine.
We're there now.
We're
it's not.
Not
a big, yes,
we're
are.
Not.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not. Maybe
really?
Maybe we're there in the really hipstery parts of Cambridge,
no.
But we are not
we're
there as
there
a
right
country.
Now.
We are
there
are
right
not.
Now.
Oh, God, that is the most naive thing I've ever heard you say.
No, it's not, because if you
we're
put
there
it-
now, are you kidding? Are you joking? I wore a hat and had someone call me a dyke 6 months ago. 6 months ago. You're saying we're there now?
So one person,
we're not even close to there now.
Person,
that's the easiest thing for an adult white male to say.
One person calling you a bad name equates to all of American society.
Nope. It's just one example of so many examples that I've either had done to myself unnecessarily because it wasn't true, or witnessed being done to other people. For you to say we're there now is so naive. Maybe 10% of our population is there now.
That's no, it's a much greater percentage than
okay,
that.
Okay, I'll give you 15.
A majority of Americans support gay marriage. We know this.
That's not, but it's a difference between, there's a difference between supporting gay marriage and being okay with a gay couple on the cover of a major magazine.
Really? Because I didn't see anyone jumping up and down and screaming, oh my God, there's gays on the magazine. We can't buy it anymore.
We should bring our radio show to like Mississippi and then see if we get the same response.
You're probably going to get a couple of whacked out, methed up yahoos are going to be like, the gays are destroying America. But... Shay.
That's absurd.
This is not 1999 anymore. This isn't 2004 anymore. The only reason that this gets any attention at all is because Disney has to come out and say, we put gays on the cover. Look at us.
You constantly tell me how naive and unknowing I am because I'm a quote-unquote millennial. This is one of the situations in which I think you are a naive and unknowing, because what you're saying, based on my experience in the world, is insane.
I'd suggest you read some opinion polls and stop basing your beliefs of what America is
on my interactions,
on your personal experience.
On my personal experience being in almost every single state in the union and meeting thousands of people and interacting with them and learning their beliefs.
Same here.
So you're saying that I should read publications that you spend all the time saying should be discredited and are spewing bull.
I didn't
instead
say
instead of
no. I said you should read data. I didn't say you should read any. I didn't say you should read the media. I said you should look at the data. Look at the studies.
I do look
at what's
data.
Being said.
I look at polls. I look at everything. Doesn't Trump? Haha. See how I did that? Doesn't Trump the fact that this intolerance is still a very, very, very real thing.
But it is
for you to try to tell me that I'm immature or uninformed.
I'm not saying you're immature.
You're implying it.
No.
By saying that I'm wrong because I think that there are still people out there that would be annoyed by a gay couple on the cover of a magazine. You think I'm wrong?
Those people
are you kidding me?
No, I'm saying those people are in the minority and that is irrelevant and that they are irrelevant.
A good chunk of our country is irrelevant, and I'm sorry.
No, I'm not saying
that. We're one
country. They hold no power in this country anymore.
Really? Who's our president?
Is our president anti-gay?
Our president isn't openly anti-gay, but he is openly intolerant. He is openly totally fine with engaging the beliefs of the exact people I'm talking about.
So you think Americans voted for Donald Trump because he was going to arrest all the gays?
No, I do not. You are taking words out of my mouth. You are implying ridiculous things. I am saying that the exact same sort of culture that elected Donald Trump is the exact same reason that I am right. That I am right that there are plenty of intolerant people still left in this country.
There are, but they have no power.
Really? Again, they do. I voted for Hillary Clinton.
Where do they have power? Where are they influencing anything anymore? Where do they have any economic value in this country anymore? They don't.
Did you eat today? Thank a farmer.
Believe me, here's another popular one. Because you've talked to every farmer in the country, all the farmers are anti-gay.
No, actually, again, putting words in my mouth, I was doing a parallel argument having nothing to do with the homosexuality thing.
Shay, you can't accuse me of putting words in your mouth when I am making a logical conclusion based on something that you've just said.
You're not making a logic. You're saying I was making a parallel argument. I wasn't saying that all farmers hate gay people. Obviously, that's absurd. I was saying that you said, what relevance do the people who elected Donald Trump have in this country? And I said, have you eaten today? Thank a farmer. What is that based on? The thing you just told me to read, which is hard data.
Why did the farmers vote for Donald Trump? Because they hate the gays?
Because they believed in the things that he put forth. And a lot of them also, yes, happen to hate homosexuality, black people, people who aren't religious, people who are liberal.
This is where you're losing.
This is not where I'm losing. I am basing this on the data that you're saying that I don't read.
You don't even know why people voted for Donald Trump. You're
really
telling me that people voted for Donald Trump because...
Because I think about 20 minutes ago we discussed why people who are Donald Trump...
And they hate the immigrants.
I did not say that.
Because
at all.
Adjacently, they hate the gays. Right?
God, it's like arguing with a 5-year-old right now. No, I did not say that everyone that voted for Donald Trump hates the gays. And again, calling them the gays is redonkulous. I said I was making a parallel argument, which is that the same sort of people that you say that most of our country is very tolerant now, and we're all dancing around with flowers, holding hands, and being very comfortable with everyone's sexual decisions and identities. That's utter crap. You know it's crap.
No, I don't know it's crap.
I was making the parallel that the same sort of people who hate homosexuality, who hate people who think differently from themselves, are, you said they have no influence on our country. So the same sort of people, not all of them, I don't know everyone in every single state and every single city and every single town and every single municipality in the United States, but based on lots of research, both in person and through data, it is very true that lots of people that voted for Donald Trump hold those feelings. That being said, I know that not all of them do. I was simply making the point that you said they had no power and people like that elected our president. So that is why you are wrong. Can we move on?
No, because I cannot let that argument stand.
So you're just not going to let me be right even though I am?
You're not right.
Yes, I am.
That's the problem here.
I am very, very, very much correct.
The people who voted for Donald Trump because he promised jobs and economic reform.
He also said terrible, terrible things about minorities. He also said terrible, terrible things about homosexuals. He also said lots of things that were feeding into the ears of super Christian, super white, middle Americans. For you to try to argue that any of that is incorrect is utterly absurd.
I'm not going to argue that he didn't say those things, but I am going to argue this conclusion that you and others like to leap to, that Donald Trump somehow rose on this swell of support from white supremacists and white nationalists who saw their opportunity to take America back again.
Literally half an hour ago, I told you the two types of people that were Trump supporters, and you agreed with me. That is why I found this conversation so incredibly ironic. Like, you literally agreed with me about this a half an hour ago on the air. Do you want to go through the recording? We can do it if you'd like.
No, I want you to rephrase. What did I agree with you on?
You agreed with me upon the fact that there were two kinds of people that agreed with Donald Trump. The people from middle America who bought into all of the incredibly offensive and empty comments and empty promises that he made. And then there were the people that knew that he was a libertarian jerk who was just looking out for his interests and the interests of people like him.
We didn't quite phrase it that way.
That's almost
No, that's not exactly, because that was a very different conversation that we were having. And it was
with the same result.
No, not with the same result. Not with the same result
at
all.
With the same sentiment.
You believe that Americans will put racists in Washington, D.C. You believe that Americans will vote for people.
I believe that.
You believe that Americans will vote for people.
I believe that.
Because they're racist.
No, I don't believe that people will vote for people because they're racist and because they're homophobes. I believe that those people don't define that as racism or homophobia. Those people define that as having good Christian values.
No. They know what they are. They know who they are.
No, they really don't.
Yes, they do.
No, they really, really, really don't.
They really, you're just...
Well, agree to disagree, I guess, because I have met lots of these people, argued with lots of
these people. You're describing a certain strain of delusional Christian that exists in this country, and I'm not going to deny that those people exist, okay? I'm not going to deny that those people exist for a second.
Millions of them exist.
But if you were going to tell me...
How many millions of people are in this country?
But if you're going to tell me that someone
could... How many millions of people are in this country?
330.
Okay,
approximately.
So I'd say around 100 million are what I'm describing.
Oh my God, you're out of your mind.
Really? Because
yeah.
I've met a lot of people, and lots of people are like that.
Can I tell you, there's...
When I told my best friend in LA that I wanted to visit Alabama, she said, you can go because you're white and straight.
Can I tell you, there's barely 100 million Republicans in this country. There's 100 million conservatives in this country.
That's bull.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. 26% of the country is Republican.
So my inbox is being filled with what?
32%.
Centrists?
26%
is that
of the country.
Who's harassing me online?
26% of the country is Republican. 33% of the country is Democrat. The remainder of the country is not.
How does that make
not,
any sense given...
Is not one of those two parties.
Our Supreme Court. Not one of those two parties. That's the problem. Saying one's Republican, one's Democrat, blah, 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 blah. That doesn't mean that there aren't a buttload of conservatives. It just means that they don't identify themselves as a Republican. Half of them think that Republicans are too soft.
There aren't a lot of conservatives hanging around the Democratic Party these days. Not too many.
I'm saying that the people you said, and then the other half are something else.
Maybe. I'll give you, there's 100 million conservatives in the country. And within that number, there's about 10% that are hardcore right-wing, yes. There are white supremacists in there. There are Nazis in there. There are homophobes in there. There are people who hate Muslims in there. 10, maybe, on a really good day, 30 million of those people in this country. At most.
Okay.
At most.
Well, I'm sure you have like hard data on
that. I do.
And, because I don't read at all, being a radio personality and somebody that does comedy multiple nights a week, most of which is topical. But
Go look up some Rasmussen Pew polls.
The 40-something white man is definitely right in this situation, as usual. Can we move on, please?
Yeah, we can move on.
Let's just agree to disagree on this one, because I don't want to spend the whole show doing this.
Yeah, I don't know that we can agree to disagree on this one, because... When you're completely out of bounds, you're out of bounds. Anyway,
I'm not out of bounds.
You're out of bounds. Time magazine.
Speak for yourself. I don't know.
Put fake news right on its cover with a photoshopped image of a toddler girl crying at President Trump's feet below the words "Welcome to America." I'm sure you've seen the cover by now. The cover suggested, and an article inside Time magazine suggested, that the girl was taken from her mother. She was not. The 2-year-old girl was brought to the border by her 32-year-old mother from Honduras. Her husband is a captain at a port in Honduras. He has a good job. She left unannounced, leaving her husband and 3 other kids, ages 14, 11, and 6, behind. When confronted with this, Time magazine decided not to issue any kind of retraction or apology, saying that the image captured the moment in America.
See, that I will give you is fake news.
That is absolutely fake news. That is 100% fake.
Well, it's just like, that makes me think of, you know, that famous picture of the sailor getting on VE Day in World War II, where's the sailor tipping over the nurse and kissing her?
Yes.
Everyone's like, oh my God, it was his long lost girlfriend, and like he was kissing her for the first time since he got back.
Nope, that's a Weinstein, kids.
Yeah, it was just a random dude who grabbed a random nurse, tipped her over, and kissed her.
Yep.
And she ended up, because I remember I read a New York Times article about it, where she ended up just like trying to find out who he was, you know, 60, 70 years later.
Yep.
But yeah, that's, oh, it was capturing the moment right now. It's like, well, then maybe find an actual picture that captures that moment.
And then the media sits around and they're like, why don't we have any credibility? Why don't you trust us anymore? Because you do stuff like this.
Jackson 5.
The father of the Jackson 5 is dead.
Joe
Jackson, the most hated man in the Jackson family, passed away at the age of 89 after a battle with terminal pancreatic cancer. There's been stuff written about him over the years.
Oh, that 5-hour-long like VH1 movie, I think it was just literally called The Jacksons, An American Dream or something like that.
Yeah.
That, I sat there being like, I never wanted to know what a switch is, and I wish I could forget.
Oh, that's the least of it. Yeah.
But yeah, he was embezzling, he was...
Things that may have happened with his daughter, like, yeah, not, couldn't have happened to a more...
Gross.
Yep.
Gross. Your turn.
Oh, it is me. Uber fatal.
Uber fatal. A likelihood?
You, this is a temporary Arizona fatal accident.
How did I not find out about this? Uber Arizona. Was it the self thing? The self-driving Uber.
Yeah.
Killed somebody.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay.
Actually, maybe not.
I'm going to say, maybe did not kill somebody?
The human who was supposed
supposed to be driving.
Who was in the car. Her name is Rafaela Vasquez. Was watching The Voice on a smartphone.
God.
And not driving the car as she was supposed to be. She may now face vehicular manslaughter charges. They have... video from inside the car watching her in the moments leading up to the accident, and she's not paying it. She's watching her phone.
Oh my God. Talk about like the dumbest accident you could possibly get into. It's like, I mean, I won't lie, like if I'm in traffic and I'm completely stopped, I'll watch like a 30-second clip on Facebook or something.
Yeah. You shouldn't do that.
I know I shouldn't do that, but then the minute the light in front of me turns on, I look up and I don't look down again. But like, she's literally... behind the wheel of a self-driving car. All she has to do is make sure the self-driving car doesn't mess up.
It's apparently it's too much to ask from some people.
Oh my,
you know, The Voice was on. She missed The Voice.
Oh, well, heavens to Betsy. How dare you? Let's see. Bill Schein.
Spell the last name.
Shine like sunshine.
Sunshine, Bill Schein. Don't know. I do know, but I don't.
I was going to say, I hate when it's like, that's in my brain somewhere,
yeah,
but it's not coming out. Bill Schein, the former Fox News president who resigned amid sexual harassment scandals, is in talks to become the next White House communications director. 3 sources familiar with the discussions who were not authorized to speak publicly confirmed the talks to NBC News today.
They get a lot of experience with sexual harassment in the White House right now.
Talk about being qualified for the position.
It's sort of like finding your way home. You know, it's like, wow, this is the place I always wanted to be. I don't think Kellyanne Conway complains is what goes on.
I would say it's like being Cuban and being invited to the cigar club. Like, hey! Yeah.
Agency fees.
agency fees. Nope.
They are legal, according to a 5-4 ruling by the now Kennedy-less United States Supreme Court.
Dang, I was going to do that one next, actually.
Now.
I can't believe I didn't come up with it.
Like union fees. Agency fees are charged to people who are in public sector jobs, police, firefighters, teachers, who are not part of the union. And about 44 years ago, the Supreme Court said because those people benefit from collective bargaining agreements, they get better hours, better pay, more vacation time benefits, that the union has a right to charge them a fee. And that money is supposed to go to collective bargaining agreements. Well, no sooner did the Supreme Court pass that rule than the public sector unions started hoovering up all of this money and giving it to Democratic presidential candidates. Which meant that a lot of people who were part of these public sector unions had their money taken from them and used to support candidates that they disagreed with. Mm. And so the Supreme Court said, no, you cannot do that anymore. That is a First Amendment violation. And the unions are losing their minds and the Democrats are losing their minds because they have now lost all of their money. I happen to be of the opinion that public sector unions outside of the police probably should not exist. Because if you are a public sector employee, you have the ability to vote in new management every so often. And that your efforts are probably better spent working with your community to back candidates who are sympathetic to you. We just had a vote in my town yesterday. They wanted to renovate the police station. Failed by 100 votes. And I'm like, how did we not vote to...
That seems like a pretty slam dunk issue.
Improve the police station. Like, give the police what they want. The police need things. And we need the police. And the police in my town actually do a darn good job at keeping the town safe and free of miscreants. But...
miscreants.
100 votes.
That's a good word, Derek. I like it. Miscreants.
Miscreants.
LL Airlines.
LL, is that the Israeli airline?
Yes.
They announced, God, what did they announce? They they're flying the planes somewhere.
Yes, they do that. But otherwise, they announced that they would immediately remove any person from a flight who won't sit next to another passenger, following outrage after 4 ultra-Orthodox men refused to take their assigned seats because they were seated next to women. An incident last Friday at Kennedy Airport on LL's New York to Tel Aviv flight prompted one of Israel's largest tech firms to say it would boycott the international airline. The women in that case were moved away from the men despite a court ruling that is against the practice. Barak Elam, who is the CEO of Ranana, Ranana-based software company Nice Systems, said his company would not fly with the Israeli flag carrier until it changed its practice and actions discriminating against women. He said, "We do not do business with companies that discriminate against race, gender, or religion." In response, LL CEO confirmed that in a statement this week that passengers who declined to sit next to someone based on religious or other reasons will still be pulled from the plane.
Oh boy, you're kind of going after your core audience there, LL. And
yeah, I was going to say, that's the thing, is like, if it was like Air France, I could see them really standing on a soapbox about this.
But yeah.
It's like, I mean, how many people who don't have super specific religious beliefs are going to Tel Aviv?
Exactly. That's like, another. Because there's a lot of business that goes on over there.
There is, but I'm saying, that is fair. But I'm saying, like, on average, I think about my ex-boyfriend who was Greek. Half of his family still lives in Greece. His family goes to Greece like 2 or 3 times a year, back and forth. I have never been to Greece.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, as much as, and like, I've been a lot of places, but like, there are people that go there for business. There are people, I mean, Tel Aviv is cool. I have a friend that was abroad there and said it was awesome, even though it was terrifying. But the majority of their business is people who live in America or live somewhere abroad, going back to where they came from and then coming out.
There's a lot of stuff going in and out of Israel, but you're still talking about, like, that's your...
Yeah, that's the core.
The Orthodox
business.
Jew is one of your main customer bases.
I was going to say that's the core customer base.
And it's like the airline is right because your religion does not, you know...
dictate who we're going to sell tickets to.
Yeah. But at the same time, there's the other thing going on in New York right now, again, involving the Orthodox Jews, about single gender times at swimming pools, where the men and the women can't be at the beach or at the pool at the same time. So you've got a city councilor in New York City who is trying to set aside reserved hours for certain people on one day of the week, which flies completely in the face of the anti-discrimination rule in New York City that basically says you can't discriminate against anybody for any reason, for anything, at any point in time.
You bunch of jerks.
Yeah.
Well, theoretically, that's the thing. I don't mean to sound anti-feminist, but I mean, I think about the times that I've taken an international flight, and when I reserve the seat, they automatically ask, like, you know, are you a vegetarian, a pescatarian, a vegetarian, pescatarian, meat eater, halal, kosher? Like, they ask all those questions. Theoretically, especially given, as you said, the main, again, all different kinds of people use this airline, but the core clientele, theoretically, there could be, and again, I'm not condoning it. I don't believe in this religion. I think that their entire belief system is crazy pants. But theoretically, they could just incorporate a button that says, like, I'm Orthodox Jewish, I'm married, I can't sit next to a woman that I'm not married to. Like, you could just have it be a box you check. And then, you know, just the same as if you book a flight late and there's only a couple seats left, if someone checks that off, they know a woman is in this row, this row, this row, this row, this row, then you can't pick a seat in that row.
Yeah.
It's not, I'm not saying that it's okay, but again, I mean, at first it's weird. When I read the story, I sided with the airline being like, these bunch of jerks. But then I realized, like, I mean, I had a friend in middle school who had to excuse herself from class two or three times a day to pray to Ramadan. Or pray to Ramadan. Pray to
Allah.
Allah, thank you. Or towards
Mecca.
Mecca, thank you. I'm Catholic. I'm not supposed to know these words.
You are supposed to know these words.
I do know these words, but they're just escaping me.
Yeah.
But would pray to Mecca, to Allah, and she would, you know, she'd just leave class. And it was one of those things where I remember one day, I mean, I was 11. I just asked her, I was like, why do you do that? She's like, because it's my religion.
Yeah.
And I was like, but isn't it weird? Like, don't you feel weird, like, leaving class? She's like, don't you feel weird using your fingers to do a weird signal on your, like, face and chest and shoulders? And then I was like, it's a very good point.
Don't you feel weird eating and drinking your savior every Sunday?
Don't you feel weird eating wafers and drinking wine when you're 12 years old?
I may have to go face Mecca 5 times a day, but I don't have to eat my savior.
Yeah, like, I don't have to eat a dude's body.
You tell me who's crazy.
Yeah.
Last one for you. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Is that who I think it is? Nope. I was thinking Malaka Busid.
She is 28. She is a Boston University graduate. And last night, she beat 10-term Democratic Representative Joe Crowley, who is the fourth highest ranking Democrat in the House of Representatives, and was widely expected to be Nancy Pelosi's successor. This has sent shockwaves through the Democratic establishment. She won the 14th district, which is a heavily Hispanic district of Brooklyn, or excuse me, of the Bronx. And she took 57% of the vote, despite the fact that she was out-fundraised by 10 to 1. So Crowley spent 10 times as much and got only 43% of the vote. Not good. She was a Bernie Sanders campaign supporter and organizer in her borough. So she's not a political neophyte. She is a democratic socialist. Some of the things that she stands for, she basically had a one page. This is what I stand for. Like the 8.5 by 11 that you'd print off at Kinko's, stapled up on phone poles all around her district, among other things.
Oh, so cool. I was going to say, I'm looking at a picture of her right now in the Pride Parade.
She wants to abolish...
Oh my God, passing a building I used to live next to.
She wants to abolish ICE, that won't happen. I won't get into that, but that won't happen. She wants.
But I like cold water.
She wants free immigration, customs enforcement.
Yeah, I got it. Okay,
she wants free college tuition. Okay, maybe. I can see ways to do that. She paid family and sick leave. Great, on board. Single payer health care. I'm on board, but we need to talk about that. She has something called universal jobs guarantee. No. That's a complete non-starter.
That's never been a thing.
She wants to overthrow Citizens United. I am on board.
Yeah, definitely.
So there's a mixture of sort of progressive wish fulfillment here and actual workable policy. I would prefer, and this is nothing against her, I think she's interesting. It'll be interesting to see what happens if she can win in the general. She will become the youngest woman ever elected to national office in the United States. That's impressive. And she is impressive.
I'd say she's cool.
I would prefer to see candidates run on things that are legitimate and realistically achievable. And when you come out of the gate saying, well, I'm going to ban ICE and get a universal jobs guarantee, no. You are a single congressperson from the 14th District of New York.
Well, see, you're right, but
aim high, yes.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I don't think that she is. I mean, obviously, she's 28 years old. I remember when I was 28 years old, the things that I thought were possible that I have since learned are not. But I do think that, not to use a cheesy line from high school, I don't think that she necessarily thinks that she's going to be able to single-handedly do that. But I remember this stupid quote that one of my friends wrote me in a note when I was in high school. It says, shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you'll land amongst the stars.
Yeah.
And it's, I think that is kind of, I hope, and I, from what I've, you know, from what it seems, it's, she's a smart enough, if she was smart enough to get herself to beat an incumbent.
Not just any incumbent.
A 10-term incumbent.
The fourth-ranking Democrat in the House of Representatives.
But if she was, you know, savvy and smart enough to do that, I think that she is savvy and smart enough to know that, yeah, she's not going to take down ICE by herself.
I got to give props to my BU alumni. I got to give props to a Bernie Sanders supporter, but...
Yeah. Mm. Oh, no. But I think that she's aware of that. I think that it's more... She's saying her idealistic, like, if I could accomplish everything I'd like to, this is what I would accomplish. I'm going to fight towards these things. Even if I don't accomplish them, I will continue to fight so something happens. I think that that's the point she's trying to get across.
She's worth watching, and we'll see. 855-915-9636, WMFO Medford, on the tail of Mikey D, coming your way at 9 o'clock with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. When we come back, Massachusetts is one of two states that... Massachusetts is the only state that... I will finish those sentences, and you'll be shocked right here on WMFO Medford.
Well, she seemed all right by dawn's early light, though she looked a little worried and weak. She tried to pretend he wasn't drinking again, but Daddy left the proof on her cheek. I was only 8 years old that summer, and I always seemed to be in the way. So I took myself down to the fair in town on Independence Day. Some folks whisper, some folks talk, but everybody loved the other.
If you're a single man under the age of 35, you'd probably like to know what the ladies are looking for on an online dating site. A guy who had a few drinks and later got pulled over for buzz driving. See, that could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. And doesn't a guy who's back living with his parents but calls them my roommates just scream, Mr. Right?
Buzzed, busted, and broke. Because buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much love drives a man insane. You broke my will, what a thrill.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock if you want to give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. And tonight we're talking about Massachusetts is one of two, yes, two out of 50 states in the union that does not allow fireworks.
It goes beyond that, though.
I was going to say, and there's more to it, as my pal Derek will tell you.
This goes way beyond that, and everybody knows I have to make noise about this every single year, okay?
I was going to say, when you told me the topic for tonight, I was like, we've done this before.
Yes, we have, and I don't have time to do it justice, unfortunately. But this is, every year that I've been doing this, the number goes down. It started out, we were one of 16, then we were one of 12, then we were one of 10. Last year, we were one of three states. Delaware, New Jersey, and Massachusetts were the only states left with full bans on consumer fireworks. Chris Christie, on his way out the door to donut shop, signed a rule in New Jersey last year saying that they could have sparklers and what he called ground sparklers, what the rest of us know as fountains.
Yeah.
So New Jersey now has consumer fireworks. Massachusetts
is the lamest ones ever, but consumer fireworks.
No, some of those can be good. Massachusetts is one of two states that still have a consumer fireworks ban in place. Massachusetts is the only state that bans sparklers. 49 other states in the union, you can go and get sparklers. Even Delaware, which has a ban on all other consumer fireworks, you can have the humble, lowly handheld sparkler. You can't have...
You mean the thing my aunt lit with her cigarette for me when I was 6 years old?
Yeah, you can't have the ground sparklers, but you can have sparklers. This is at a point of insanity in this state right now. And the reason this is happening, because I have spoken over the last 5 or 6 years, every time I encounter a politician, whether they are in office or running for office or thinking about running for office or what have you, I ask them the same question. Why are we one of X number of states? And as soon as you say that, their eyes glaze over because they know something bad is coming. Something embarrassing is coming. Why are we one of X states? Why are we one of three states where fireworks are still illegal? And I keep getting the same answer over and over and over again. Nobody wants to take on the fire marshals in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. The fire marshals are the ones that are preventing us from enacting common sense fireworks legislation. And the reason they are doing this is because they hate fireworks.
Well, and I mean, understandably so. But at the same time, I mean, it's kind of the same way that I feel about legalizing marijuana. It's like, how many fires get started from someone misusing fireworks as compared to someone falling asleep with a cigarette on the couch or leaving the oven on or leaving their hair straightener on fabric? Like, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, some people are going to be dummies, but that doesn't mean that the people who aren't dummies should be denied something, especially considering the fact, especially on this side of the state and in this area of the state, New Hampshire's what? Half hour, 40 minutes away?
Yes.
I spent all of high school with my older friends just getting fireworks in New Hampshire and driving back down to Massachusetts.
Right, which everybody does.
Yeah, and it's like, it'd be different if we lived in one of the western states where, like, from state to state, it's an 8-hour drive. But you're basically, you're depriving Massachusetts of a stimulation to its economy by doing this. That's the main result of this.
But it goes beyond that. And here's the thing. If you hold a position long enough, as the fire marshals have, that all fireworks are bad, all fireworks should be illegal, all fireworks, we're never going to allow fireworks. You run the risk of becoming the problem that you attempted to solve in the first place.
Which is,
by making all fireworks illegal in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, you leave consumers no alternative but to get illegal fireworks.
Yeah. Well, it's the same as, like I said, it's very similar to pot being illegal, where I'm like, you're just encouraging people to break the law. You're not encouraging people not to use these things. You're encouraging them to break the law in order to use them.
Now, here's a few examples of things that have happened in recent years that they cite as reasons why fireworks should be illegal. Okay. July 1st, 2017, a firework explodes in the hands of a teenager in Mattapan. That's a firecracker or a bomb. July 3rd, 2016, 8-year-old Lawrence boy burned on his chest after a firework hit him in the chest. That's an aerial. That's a cake. That's a shell. Something like that. July 4th, 2016, 4-year-old Lawrence boy received burns to his forehead and chin when a firework hit him in the face. Another aerial firework, maybe a Roman candle. On July 9th, 2016, a Dorchester apartment, in Dorchester, a 10-year-old boy lost 4 fingers due to illegal fireworks. That is a bomb or a firecracker. That is probably an M80, which is illegal in most states. Last summer, a woman blew off a couple of her fingers on the shore of Lake Quanapowhat.
All of this hurts my brain.
Holding an M80. Over and over again, they cite all of these accidents that happen, and they are aerial shells, M80s, firecrackers, aerial fireworks, Roman candles, which I can go up to New Hampshire and buy right now. And by the way, if you get caught with fireworks in your backyard, you are not going to get arrested. You are going to get a fine of $10 to $100.
And get your fireworks taken away.
If the police even bother with the fine, and you are going to get your fireworks taken away, if the police decide that they're going to take the fireworks away. One of the newspapers out in western Massachusetts, the Daily Hampshire Gazette, talked to two different police departments, Amherst and Northampton, and they both said the same thing. We treat these as noise complaints. And we show up and we ask people, are you done? What's going on? Stop setting off the fireworks. And everybody goes home, and that's the end of it. The fire marshals would have you believe that they're saving all of these lives and they're doing all of this good with this fireworks ban, when the reality is, if you had legal fireworks in Massachusetts, if you did something like what New Jersey has done and said, you know what? You can have sparklers.
Yeah, like you can have these ones that don't take an expert to do properly.
You can have fountains. You can't have anything aerial. You can't have anything that goes up in the air. You can have sparklers and you can have fountains. And we are going to prosecute anything else. Okay. Because guess what? Most people in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, if you gave them the opportunity to go buy legal fireworks, aren't going to go to New Hampshire anymore. They will buy what's legal, especially if the police come over and they're like, that's an illegal firework. Here's a $500 fine. Here's a $1,000 fine.
Well, and again, I'm sorry to keep marrying it with the pot legalization argument, but it's the same thing where it's like, okay, you can't have heroin, you can't have cocaine, you can't have meth, you can't have crack. But if you have pot, we're cool. It's the kind of the same thing where it's like, you can have the light things that we know won't like ruin anyone's life. But if we catch you with the heavier stuff, we are going to prosecute you.
Exactly.
Like you can. And honestly, I mean,
and you only have to do that. You only have to do that once or twice. You only have to go bust a couple of people for setting off aerials and give them $1,000 fines and roll the news trucks out so that everyone in the state knows. Listen,
yeah, like this is going to happen to you if you don't wise up.
You go set off all the fountains you want. You have a good time with those fountains. The second we see something flying in the air and exploding over your house, we're coming over and you're getting a $1,000 fine. The message will be sent. And you're still going to have some idiots that do it anyway, because you're going to have those idiots anyway. We have everybody setting off fireworks in the state right now anyway. We get zero tax revenue from it, and we have no control whatsoever.
I would say the last time that I had one of my friends set off fireworks, I almost got hit in the head with a Roman candle. And that's because he went to New Hampshire and got things he wasn't qualified to do.
These accidents are happening because of the ban.
Mm-hmm. And I totally agree.
And the fire chiefs need to recognize this, and the fire marshals need to recognize this, that you have no control over what's going on, and you have a completely uneducated public as well, because you have made a decision that you're not going to allow fireworks of any kind in this state. It is time for that to reverse.
It's similar. I was going to say it's similar to states that have the abstinence-only sex education policy, where it's like those states have a higher instance of teen pregnancies. They have a higher instance of STDs because banning something doesn't make people not do it.
Right.
It just means that it's not going to be regulated. Whereas if you inform people and gave them access to the things that they want to do in a limited amount with the right information on how to do it, maybe we wouldn't have so many 16-year-old mothers with all their fingers blown off.
And the numbers generally show in those states, by the way, that while you have a slightly higher incidence of teen pregnancy, you have a significantly higher incidence of STDs.
Of STDs, yeah.
Significantly higher. And the bad stuff. Not like...
Yeah, not like the, I'm going to take antibiotics for a few weeks and we'll be cool.
The bad stuff. 855-915-9636. It's time to do something about this.
Yeah, come on, guys.
It is time to fix this.
I'm really tired of driving to New Hampshire.
Someone needs to stand up to the fire chiefs and say, look, your intentions were noble, but we have now gotten to a point where you, through your intransigence on this, have become the problem.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is Derek Gary. And one of our final segments, we're going to tell you what's hot, which is the coolest thing from this past week or the coming week. And I know I always talk about comedy, but whenever this dude headlines anywhere in Boston, I love to promote it. Sean Sullivan is one of my favorite comedians in maybe all of New England. And also once gave me one of my favorite insults / compliments, which is, your unrelenting enthusiasm is utterly exhausting. He's going to be headlining Nick's Comedy Stop at 100 Warrington Street this Friday and Saturday. You can get your tickets at www.nickscomedystop.com.
That's a funny guy.
Oh my God. He's one of those people, I never know if he likes me or hates me. And he's one of the few people that I don't care just because I respect him so much. I'm like, I'll still hang out with you, even though I think you're insulting me right now.
That's a guy who's like Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. You give him your money, and at the end of it, you're like, oh, you gave me what I expected for my money. That's, you're funny. Like, you're actually funny and entertaining.
Totally.
That's good.
He did a one-man show about him and his wife getting pregnant. And it was an hour and a half long, and I didn't even go to the bathroom. I didn't even smoke a cigarette. I didn't even get a drink. I just sat there being like, you're one of the funniest people ever. But he's dope. He's been on Gotham Live on Comedy Central. Like, he's really, guys, if you have nothing to do this weekend, go check him out at Nick's Comedy Stop.
Lego fans, Harry Potter fans, at last, you can come together in the maddening frenzy of trying to collect them all. Lego has announced that its next series of collectible minifigures, available on August 2nd, will be all Harry Potter.
Oh, get it.
Now, this is a mix.
It's the first time you've ever said something nerdy that I've been like, yes.
There are 22 minifigures in the set, and it is a mixture of classic Harry Potter and Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. So, yes, there is a Newt Scamander figure. There is also a Dumbledore figure and a Dobby figure. A couple of the minor characters who are getting like the full Lego minifigure treatment here include Professor Trelawney, Professor Flitwick, Mad-Eye Moody.
God, I have to rewatch those movies.
Luna Lovegood. A couple versions of Harry Potter and Cedric Diggory. So... here's what's going to happen. This is how these things work. Lego, generally speaking, sends out one shipment of these to all of the retailers that carry them. That includes Lego brand stores. That includes Target. That includes Walmart. I don't know. There may be some local toy stores around that sell them, but those are your big three.
I would say, for the most part, it's like, this is how many you get, and that's it.
You have to be there when they come in, and you have to buy them as soon as you see them, or they will be gone, and you will never see them again.
And guys, I work a block and a half from Legoland, so theoretically, if you want to bribe me, I will go there before work for you.
Lego does not turn around and put out another shipment a couple of months later. You buy it in that narrow window, or you don't buy it at all. So keep that in mind. Target usually rolls these things out a few days before the official release date. So whatever the Tuesday is before that August 1st, you want to keep an eye on that. So August 1st, be ready. Lego stores, Lego brand stores, generally speaking, will sit on them until the launch
date. Like the launch. Yeah, I was going to say, they won't leak any before.
That's not the Discovery Center, but that's the other... The Discovery Center will get them, but the other Lego brand stores in the malls around here.
It will be a wake up and wait for our doors to open, so we're selling them today.
Yeah, Discovery Center does whatever they want to do. Harry Potter collectible minifigures. Oh, yeah.
WMFO Medford, 91.5 FM. We're wrapping things up here at the Big Picture with That's a Thing That Happened, which is the craziest news story from last week. For me, giving Florida a break, this is from Massachusetts. A 14-month-old is recovering from minor injuries after falling down a ventilation shaft of a home in Waterford yesterday morning. First responders say they received a 911 call around 7:30 a.m. after 14-month-old Elijah Irizarry fell down a ventilation shaft and was stuck between the first and second floor of a home on Woodbine Street. Irizarry's mom, Christy Mendez, said she got up to go to the bathroom and swears her son was gated in. She said she heard screaming and ran into the room, but didn't see Irizarry at first until she looked down and saw him in the vent. When firefighters from the Goshen, Jordan, and Cohansey Fire Companies arrived, they say they found Irizarry had fallen approximately 12 feet into a 90-degree elbow of the shaft.
Yikes.
Yes. Luckily, though, he was conscious and alert, and they were able to extract him.
Oh, that's good.
But can you imagine, though, that kid's going to be claustrophobic for the rest of his life.
Maybe not. I mean, the kid may be like, that was the best thing ever.
Or he'll, like, become a mine worker.
Yeah. They pull him out, and he was like, again.
Yeah. Like, can I go back in? I liked that.
The story about the house that was left on the highway broke too late today for me to get to that. So we'll try and get... Someone left a house on a highway.
Of course they did. Like, that's a totally normal thing to do.
Left a house sitting on a highway. Authorities are looking for the owner of the house, but we'll get to that one eventually.
As one would, I mean, you don't just leave your house lying around.
Philadelphia. Kathy McVeigh went to see her Philadelphia Phillies take on the St. Louis Cardinals on June 18th. During the game, the Philly fanatic fired a hot dog wrapped in duct tape at McVeigh, who was unable to deflect it due to a shoulder injury.
Oh, no.
The airborne wiener struck McVeigh in the face, leaving her with a black eye that she had to ice every 20 minutes. McVeigh does not plan to sue the Philly fanatic, who, according to sports law professor Bob Jarvis of Nova Southeastern University, is the most sued mascot in Major League Baseball.
I believe that.
Why are you firing hot dogs wrapped in duct tape at your fans?
I'm gonna say, I can't see Wally doing that.
No, this is not. I don't like the t-shirt cannon. We don't need the hot dog cannon. None of the above. We will not be with you next week. We encourage you to go and celebrate America's independence.
I'd say we're just way too excited about having freedom.
Yeah. So we're going to be celebrating America's independence and making fun of British people.
Well, naturally.
Yeah.
And pouring tea into places.
Thumbing our noses at the Brits. But we will be back in 2 weeks with a brand new episode. So until then, Shea Spillane.
I love you all. Mwah.
I am Derek Gary. Have a safe and sane 4th of July.
Please do.
If you're in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, go find a Congress.
Drive to New Hampshire.
Go find a legislator and.